your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus, the third chapter. Exodus chapter 3, page 73 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Beginning with verse 11, we'll read responsively through verse 14. The third chapter of Exodus, verse 11 through 14, page 73. As is our custom here at First Baptist Church of Hammond, let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And let's pray. And Father, we rejoice at the privilege of hearing a message preached again from this great book. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for a faithful man of God. Thank you for this great church. Once again, meet with us. Demonstrate thy power, we pray. Today, here in this room, in Jesus' name, amen.
There are many things that I have learned through the years. It's taken me years to learn that I'd like for you not to have to take years to learn. Please take the baby out, if you would, wherever that baby is. We have a rule here that no baby can stay in the service. As soon as I pray, wherever that baby was, I'd like you to take the child out, please, when I pray in a few minutes. Babies bother you, no. And you not being able to hear bothers me. I've got something to say to you. And so I, of course, never make any apology for wanting you to be able to hear. I, through these many years, have learned the hard way some things. I don't want you to have to do that. You know, many of you young people, I'm talking about young married people especially, are learning things right now that I didn't learn until I was 50 years old or older. And I'm going to give you something this morning that's one of the secrets to life. It's not one of those pungent kind of sermons. It's not one of those spectacular kind of sermons, but it will change your life. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, the doctrine of aimlessness. The doctrine of aimlessness. And I want to say that I could say the attribute of aimlessness, or the grace of aimlessness. Every once in a while, somebody will say, the fellow is going through life aimlessly. That's not near as bad as you think. I want to talk to you, and you listen carefully. I'm going to give you one of the great secrets of life. Our Heavenly Father, bless thy servant this morning as he speaks. Bless thy people as they hear. May we together improve our lives, or gather tools that will help us to improve our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Sit up straight, look right this way. Have you ever done this? Have you ever been in the washroom in the morning and ask yourself, if I brush my teeth yet? And to find out if you brushed your teeth, I'm looking at a lot of guilty faces right now. What do? Reach up and touch the toothbrush and see if it's wet. Of course you do. If it's wet, that means you probably brushed your teeth. Are you there? You can just reach out in the glass and get your teeth and see if they feel clean. But I've years ago, I found myself asking myself in the morning many times, have I brushed my teeth yet? I can get worse than that. Have I shaved yet? So I reach up to feel my face to see if I've shaved. Really is bad when I ask myself, have I used deodorant
yet?
And so I find out if I've used deodorant or not. No, what I do is I reach under the arm and see if it's moist. I've just showered and dried, see if it's moist. But I figured I was going to do something about it when I asked myself one morning, have I bathed yet? And I had to look, reach up to the towel and see if the towel was wet. Now the truth is, most of us live that way. We don't know what we're doing while we're doing it. Whom shall I say sent me, asked Moses. And God said, you tell him that I am has sent you. Jesus said before Abraham was, didn't say I was, he said I am. We serve an I am God. And in the next 26 minutes or so, I'll give you something, things as practical as can be, that will help you to live a richer life if you'll simply pay attention. Most of us spend most of our lives preparing to be happy and not being happy. God wants us to be happy now. Most of us spend much of our lives preparing to succeed, but not succeeding now. Most of us spend our lives, get this carefully, going somewhere. God wants us to be being somewhere. Most of us spend our lives knowing where we're going, but without knowing where we are. Most of us spend most of our lives hoping for the future and not enjoying the present, or even being aware of the present. Like, have I brushed my teeth yet? Have I shaved yet? We shaved and didn't. We're thinking about something else. We're not thinking about shaving. We brushed our teeth. The mind was not on the brushing of the teeth. And we wonder if the teeth have been brushed. I say today, I am not. And this surprises people when I say this. I am not very goal-oriented. I wouldn't give you 15 cents for all these self-betterment books that are published by, and you know some of the guys are good guys, and I know some of them, some of these guys. They're good guys. They've got holes in their head. But they're good guys. I wouldn't give you a dime for all these self-betterment, self-improvement, goal-oriented. I'm just not very goal-oriented. Every once in a while somebody will ask me, Brother House, when you came to Hammond, Indiana, did it ever dawn on you that someday you may have as many as 20,000 in Sunday school? Never. Never did. Never thought about it. Well, did it ever dawn on you that someday you may have 10,000 people on some Sunday? Never. When I came to Hammond, Indiana, the farthest thought of my mind was having 10,000 people ever here. When I used to, Brother House, when you came to Hammond, did you ever think you'd have 5,000 people? No, never thought about it. Didn't come to Hammond to have 5,000 people. Well, did you think you'd ever have 2,000 people? Never entered my mind when I became pastor of this church whether or not I'd ever have 2,000 people here. Well, you say, did you have any goal when you came to Hammond? Oh, yes, I did. My goal was to do the best I could every moment that I was in Hammond, Indiana. We're so goal-oriented, we forget the trip. Let me illustrate this morning. This is going to be almost a psychological sermon. I just think that sounds big. I've always wanted to preach one. This is going to help you. See, I happen to love you. I've been your pastor 35 years, and I want you to have the richest life possible, and I'm going to show you how this morning. Every morning, when I'm in town, I come to church. I mean, that's every morning when I'm in town. Monday morning, and then I'm in town on Thursday morning, Friday morning, Saturday morning, Sunday morning, I come to church. But when I drive to church, I'm not, say, what are you doing? I'm not coming to church. I'm taking a drive. I don't drive to church. I decide that I'm going to end up at church, but I don't drive to church. I take a drive. I don't come the same way to church every morning. I come different ways. And I know the houses between here and church. And I come down different roads. This morning to come to church, I drove down some road and then turned to another road. I forgot what church I came to, but anyway, I drove down Ridge Road in Munster because, as you know, I started to say Columbia is the road that is being worked on. I should say Ridge Road is the road that's not being worked on. But I drove down Ridge Road, and I drove down Ridge Road till I got to, I got to Calumet. Drove down Calumet a couple of blocks and decided to go through a little neighborhood between Broadmoor and Ridge Road. And I went down the end of that road, looked at every house on both sides of the street. I turned right there and drove down to Broadmoor and drove Broadmoor across the tracks and then drove down Manor till I got almost the end of Manor, almost to the expressway. And I drove down to Holman Avenue and turned and went under the expressway on Holman Avenue and then turned on that little winding street there that goes by the river, looked at every house along there, drove by my mother's house, and then drove up, turned right at mother's place on 167th Calumet City, and went down to State Line, turned left on State Line, went to Locust, turned right on Locust, and went to Forest Avenue, where all those real pretty houses are, and those two blocks there, a little winding place, and looked at every house, didn't miss a house, looked at every one of them. If you'd asked me where I was going, I'd had to say I don't know. I wasn't going anywhere. I was taking a drive. Now, that drive, I'd already planned, was going to end up at the church. But I wasn't coming to church. Hey, listen, this is great. I wasn't coming to church. I was taking a drive. It wasn't, everybody's going somewhere, nobody is anywhere. And so I don't drive to church. I take a drive. I decide to go to church and forget it and take a drive. For example, when I eat breakfast, I'm not gaining strength for the day. I'm eating breakfast. What are you doing right now? You get the energy for the day? No, I'm eating breakfast. What are you doing right now? Getting strength? No, I'm eating an egg. Scramble real hard. I hate flimsy eggs with a passion. I hate anything that's flimsy. I like something that's firm. But I like eggs scrambled, like them good and hard. When I eat, I'm eating an egg. What are you doing? Getting strength for the egg? No, I'm eating an egg. What are you doing now? Getting strength for... No, I'm eating a piece of bacon. Getting strength for the day. What are you doing now? I'm really getting strength for the day. Drinking a cup of coffee. Having my fix. But I don't... My breakfast is not a tool. To most people, even a smile is a tool. Getting favor with somebody else. I smile because I want to smile. I eat breakfast. When I'm eating breakfast, I'm not getting strength for the day. I'm eating breakfast. For example, in college. What are you doing in college? I'm preparing for the ministry. Oh, that's silly. No, won't you just learn the Bible? I mean, decide you're going to be a preacher out there someday, but don't always be going somewhere. Those students at Howells Anderson College, all they're trying to do is get the degree, always heading for a destination, never do anything now, not the I am, but the I will be, not the I am, but I'm going to be, not the I am, but I should be, I'm going there. But when they get out there, they want to go somewhere else. I'm learning the Bible. For example, when I wash the dishes. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't wash the dishes all the time at our house. Sometimes Mrs. Howells does it for me. But I want to tell you something now, carefully. This will help you. Good night. When I clean the kitchen, I'm not cleaning the kitchen. And by the way, I clean the kitchen. When I clean it, it's clean. When I wash the dishes, they're clean. But when I clean the kitchen, say, what are you doing? Clean the kitchen? No, I'm not. I'm now washing a dish. Let me go through it for you. First thing I do is wipe off the kitchen table. Now, and by the way, I divide the whole project into segments. It's a science, folks. I'm in no hurry. I'm not trying to get through. I'm trying to do. My goal is not to get through. My goal is to do the segment I'm doing now. I'm not thinking about what I'm going to do next when I get through washing the dishes. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start on supper, cook it.
Each dish and each pan is the object of my attention. I'm not kidding. The future doesn't hold me hostage. The job is not a nuisance. I am at one with what I'm doing. I don't do any job to get it over with. I do the job to do the job. Now I'll go back and show you how I do it. I get me a warm rag and squeeze it out, and I go wipe the kitchen table. Now, when I do that, we got a little doojigger of flowers there. I move the doojigger of flowers and wipe under the flowers. I move the salt and pepper shaker, and I wipe under the salt and pepper shaker. I move the, sometimes is a jelly jar there. I move the jelly jar. I don't wipe around it like you do. Here's all that stuff there, and you wipe around it. Like that. No, sir, I move it all and wipe underneath it. The reason I do is because the other person lives in the house, doesn't do it, and it's always extra dirty when I get to it. I'm not complaining. I'm giving you truth, folks. But anyway, I mean, I promise you, I could have a white glove inspection of that table when I get through. What are you doing? Clean the kitchen? No, I'm cleaning the table. I am now cleaning the table. When I do that, then I wipe the countertops. I wipe one side over here, and I move it. A little pot of flowers here, I move it and wipe under the pot of flowers. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm working on that countertop. I don't have any plans after I get through. If I have plans, I've forgotten them. I am cleaning that countertop. I'm not going to do anything. I am doing something. When I finish cleaning the countertop, I clean the stove. Now, I haven't washed the dishes yet. Well, I've got a minute. I've washed them too. But so I wash the dishes. Now I take every pan, and I work on it. And I don't like Ms. House to put some kind of liquid in there that causes the stuff that sticks to the side to unstick. I want to unstick it with that big bicep right there. I mean. And the more stickums on it, and the more it's stuck to the edge of that pan, more I like it. I am cleanest, and boy, I like to finish that pan, look at it, and say, wow, what a job. I'm not living my life planning to do anything. I'm living my life doing something right now. Jesus didn't say, before Abraham was, I was. Before Abraham was, I was going to be. God didn't say to Moses, tell him that the I will be has sent you. When I get through with this, I'll do it. Or the I was has sent you. He said, tell him the I am has sent you. God is interested in the present. I want some present tense Christians. When I get all the dishes just where they ought to be, then I go to the stove. Now on the stove, you take that thing that's on the top that you put the pan. I take it off. I put it over here. I take all four of them off and stack them over here. Now underneath that little the thing that holds the pan, there's a little, what do you call them, under there? No, around the burner, there's a little,
A well.
I take those wells out. I don't just wipe around, I take them out. And I wash carefully, and sometimes I'll use a Brillo pad, sometimes a chisel. Because it hadn't been done since last time I did it. And so I'll take a Brillo pad and I'll wash every one of those wells. I'm not thinking what I'm going to do when I get through. I'm not concerned about getting through. And that's a problem with this old generation. When can I get through? When's this thing over? I want to get it done. I got something I want to do. No, sir, I got something I'm doing. I wash every well. And then while the wells are all out of the stove and while the little things on the top, what do you call those?
Great.
While they're off, that's when I wash the stove. I mean, there's nothing there but the top of the stove and the burner. And I wash the stove. Then I put the little wells back in, put the little grates back in, and then I wash the counter around it. And then when I get through with all of it, I wash out the sink. And then I wash around the sink. And that little doojigger that holds the soap, I don't wash around that doojigger. I move that doojigger and wipe under the doojigger where the soap is. I move the soap and wipe under the soap. Then I wipe the faucet. We have a little faucet that sticks out about like that. And I wipe behind the faucet. I wipe the faucets themselves. I wipe the thing where the water comes out. I wipe it. And never think about when I'm going to get through. You see, the trouble with the entire society we have is we're going to do something. We're planning to do something. And all these guys have talked about, goal-oriented. Brother, you're goal-oriented me. I'll give the best I've got to my Sunday school class today. I'll give the best I've got today to my bus route. I'm going to learn this book today. Tomorrow will take care of itself. I am going to live in the now. Today. I'm going to be as practical today as I can be. When I eat pecans, and I love to eat pecans, I like them in the shells better because you can eat them slower. Now, if you watch me while I eat pecan, I crack a pecan, and I take it out, and I can get the thing out whole about 64% of the time. Now, while I'm chewing that pecan, I don't reach for another one and crack the other one. I do not crack the next one until I have swallowed the first one. The average person here, you don't enjoy pecans. You're busy trying to get this one out of the hole. Don't even know you're eating one. Boy, this is good stuff. When I'm flying on an airplane, I'm not going anywhere. That's a pilot's business. I'm taking an airplane ride. And I never look at it. What time do you want to get there? No, doesn't bother me. I'm taking an airplane ride. On the airplane, sometimes I'll work. I usually work on the airplane. And the stewardess come by, and what do you want to drink? And I'll say, give me a Diet Coke. Now, I don't work and drink that Diet Coke at the same time. I want to know I'm drinking that Diet Coke. So I put my pen down, put my work down, take my glasses off sometimes, and drink a sip of Diet Coke, and that's all I'm doing. Some of you folks drink a drink, you don't know you've drunk it. And you eat a meal, you don't know you've eaten it, except the plate's empty. When I sit in a restaurant, and I do a lot, and I always take a paper to the restaurant with me when I'm alone in a motel. I'll go to the restaurant, take a paper, and I'll read the paper and eat, but not at the same time. I'll eat a bite, I'll chew the bite of food, I'll savor it, as it goes down, I'm eating macaroni and cheese. Oh, what a glorious taste this is. And my mind is not on O.J. Simpson. And I don't read the paper while I'm chewing. I chew and swallow and then read the paper. Then I'll take another bite and I'll turn my attention on the food and eat the food. Then I'll read the paper between bites. When I let me say this. I simply try to live every minute of my life. I'm not living for when I get through. I'm not living what I'm going to do next. I'm living for what I do right now. Now, this may seem so simple this morning. Some of you go, why don't you preach the gospel? Won't you shut up? But anyway, I'm trying to tell you this whole thing will change your life. Good night. Don't go through life and say, did I live? You can drive through mountains and not see them. You can drive through a beautiful shower and not enjoy it. You can walk through a flower garden and never know it. I mean, you're going through life with your mind on where you're going instead of where you are. The people in life who are successful are where they are. They're not busy about going somewhere. They're busy being what they are and enjoying what they have now. That's the secret to life. The I Am has sent you. For example, when I get up in the morning, I'm aware I'm getting up. Some of you folks have been working 2 hours before you know what you're doing. I get out of bed in the morning, listen to me, and I stop, and before I get out of bed totally, my mind goes to rest home after rest home. My mind goes to St. Margaret's Hospital, to Higher Mercy Hospital. My mind goes to Broadway Methodist Hospital. I walk up and down those hallways. I look at those people that give anything in the world they could just get out of bed. Brother, I don't get out of bed grudgingly. I enjoy getting out of bed. And I have revival. Praise God, I can get up. Then I start walking. Then I thank God I can walk. Brother, as I walk, I say to myself, I'm walking. There'll be a day, no doubt, when I'd give anything in the world to do this. And I wonder how many millions of people today would love to do exactly what I'm doing right now. I am not necessarily going anywhere. I am doing something now. I'm walking. I go to the washroom. And I look at that washroom and remember that outhouse. I look at that toilet tissue and remember the Sears Roebuck catalog. We always had one, but we never ordered anything in Sears Roebuck. Didn't keep it that long. And I'll say, man alive, all you got to do is to get rid of this is just push this button right here. And I remember how I used to have to go out there once a week and clean that outhouse. Now I have revival. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm simply saying, the very fact that I walk in a nice, beautiful bathroom, I know I have it good, and I live for the I am, not the I'm gonna be. I eat a sandwich. I never eat a sandwich. Let me say, 99 times out of 100, when I eat a sandwich and my mind goes back to 39, 36, then the drive. When the Coulters across the street used to have sandwiches on payday night, invite my sister across to eat sandwiches, and I never had a sandwich and always wanted to have one. When I stand up here and ready to preach, to me, this sermon, this may be a surprise to you, but this sermon is the most important sermon I've ever preached in my life. In the first place, I'm giving the people I love the most a truth that'll change your lives. And between the laughter and the humor, if you'll get the truth and if you'll take every moment of your life and live it now. Doc, when I had pneumonia, you know what I enjoyed doing? Breathing. I had a revival. My lungs were sick, filling up. The question is, can I keep breathing? And I'd go, in, out, in, out. And I had fun breathing. Y'all try it sometime. I don't mean breathing. Try knowing you're breathing. It's a wonderful thing to breathe. I mean, what I'm trying to say is, yeah, you're walking, you don't know it, you're going somewhere, you don't know where you're going to go, and you get there, you're going to grab because what it looks like, and you're breathing, and you have strength, and you're out of bed, and you don't realize it. I'm simply saying, brother, become the I am kind of a child of God. When this service is over, I'll stand here and do what I do every Sunday morning. I'll watch you as you leave. And I'll say to myself, I'm doing something that no other preacher in the world can do. I'm watching the largest congregation in America leave the service this morning. I just got through preaching to the biggest crowd of people in a church in America today. And I'm not going to miss it. I'm not going to someday sit in a rest home or in a wheelchair and relive what I enjoyed here and say, boy, I didn't realize it. Bless God, I am realizing it. I'm not going anywhere. I decide where to go, and on the way, I forget where I'm going and live for now. As I drive a car, I have a little ritual. I get in my little Plymouth Sundance. That's a wicked name for a preacher's car. My little Plymouth Sundance car. And I remember those 3 years we didn't have a car. First got married.
And we'd see people driving down the street in car and say, wonder what it's like to have a car. 3 years. One day, a couple named Arlie and Betty, a couple of Arkansas hillbillies, they said, Brother Jack, you like to use our car? We borrowed their car, and we lived in Fayetteville and the paratroopers and drove all the way to Raleigh. That's 60 miles. All the way to Raleigh. Man, they got a little doojigger turned on and a radio plays. Well, I didn't know that. We didn't have radios in our car or our house either, really. I'm trying to say, when I get in my car, I remember those 3 years. We walked everywhere we went. I rode the bus somewhere. I mean, everywhere we went to go, the doctor rode the bus, went to church, rode the bus. Everywhere we went, we either walked or rode the bus. I'm simply saying, I am not going to get in the car without thanking God for now. Let me tell you some things that make me happy today. I have something that makes me very happy this morning. I have a non-toothache. And I've thought about it this morning. I have a non-toothache. I have a non-headache. I have a non-stomachache. I have a non-backache. If you folks would enjoy a non-headache like you're griping, you have a headache, you'd understand what life is all about. Good night. Won't you just say, well, praise God, I have a non-headache this morning. Shout, Brother Colston, you have a non-headache. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I have a non-toothache. You're crazy. You're crazy. You're idiots. Yeah, I am. Live now, not tomorrow. I'm going to do. When you get out there, you're going to do something else. Do it now. Young men across America building churches that came to Howells Anderson College are not the young men that said, boy, I'm studying to go out there and do something. They're the young men that said, I'm going to graduate one of these days, and I know it, but I'm going to forget it and get me a bus route, and I'm going to get folks saved while I'm in college, and I'm going to do the best I can. And when they get their degree, they're sort of surprised and sometimes disappointed. Why? They're not living for tomorrow. They're living for now. The I Am has sent you. Yesterday's dead. Tomorrow's not yet born. I can only enjoy today. I'm not going anywhere. I'm being someplace. I'm not going to do anything. I'm doing something. I just decide where I'm going. Chart the course. Forget where I'm going and enjoy where I am. Say it again, I'll close. It's amazing. As Hiles will tell you, when I had pneumonia, 1989, was out for 3 weeks. I had the two kinds, viral and what's the other kind? Bacterial. I had both of them. Brother, when I do something, I do it all the way. And I was sick. I mean, I was sick as a horse. I don't know how sick a horse gets, but I was sick. I was sick as a real sick horse. And I'll be honest with you, there are times I'd breathe like that. And brother, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd say, I'm still breathing. Out. In. Out. You can't talk while you're breathing in. In. Out. In. Out. I'd say it under breath. And I got to thinking, why don't I do this all the time? Why don't I just stop every day and thank God I'm breathing? Sometimes I stop and curse the day that you're breathing, but why don't I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that the whole country, this our entire civilization, is on our way somewhere. Where are you going? We're going on vacation. No, you're not. The minute you leave the house, you're on vacation. I like what Jack and Cindy Scott did. They borrowed, what do you call that thing? RV. RV. They borrowed his dad's RV. It broke down a little town with about, what, 300 people? About 300 people. They had to spend 4 days, that little town, 300 people. There wasn't no Disney World there. No water slides. No professional baseball teams. They spent 4 days in that little old cotton picking town. But they took their bicycles, and they said they had a time. They weren't going anywhere. They were being somewhere. And ladies and gentlemen, if you'll quit going somewhere and be somewhere. I am not trying to build anything. I am building something. I'm not going anywhere. I am somewhere. And by the way, sometimes you don't get where you're going and you won't enjoy life unless you enjoy while you're going. That's that young man that was going to the mission field and was killed on his bicycle. But you know what that young man did? And I'm going to close now. I'm not sure when, but I promise I'll close. What's that guy's name? Luckinbill. First name, Steve? Scott Luckinbill. Scott was going to the mission field. Had already been accepted by the mission board to go to the mission field. Was on his way to the mission field. Couldn't afford a car while he was in school, and so he rode a bicycle. One day it was raining, and a car hit him and went to eternity. But Scott was the kind of fellow that wasn't preparing to be a missionary. Scott was a missionary. He was a missionary to Chicago. He was a missionary to bus kids. He was not going to be anything. He was always being something. I'm 67 years old, be 68 in 2 months. I have lived for now. This is it. Tomorrow night I'll be preaching in somewhere, Maryland. And tomorrow night when I stand up and preach, I'll promise you it'll be the most important sermon I've ever preached in my life. I promise you that. I don't care if there are 4,000 people there or 40 people there. It is the most important sermon. Everything is a right with me. And every sermon is a convention sermon. And every day is the biggest day of my life. And every moment is the moment I'm living for now. Whom shall I say sent me? The I Am has sent you. Quit worrying about going somewhere. And live for now. Now you're on the way. But decide where you're going and forget it. Chart your course. And I'm going out there. That's where I'm going to be someday. I'm going out there. Now forget where I'm going, but right now I'm here. And I'll serve God now. I'll do my best now. I'll build my class now. I'm not going to wait until I get married to be happy. I'm not going to wait until I have a baby to be happy. I'm not going to wait until I have my own house to be happy. I'm not going to wait until I have a new car to be happy. I am going to be happy now. And that's the secret to life. Father, I'd like to talk an hour more.